This is the Seven Figure Agency Podcast. Discover the strategies and techniques to grow a highly successful and profitable digital marketing agency with your host, Josh Nelson.
All right. Hello and welcome. So excited for you guys. So excited that you've taken the time out of your day to be on today's session. We're going to be talking all about niche selection. And I'm sure if you've been running your digital marketing agency for any period of time, you've heard again and again and again, you got to be in a niche. You got to figure out what your niche is. And sometimes we hear that information and either we tried it at one point, we're like, yeah, you know, I know I should do that, but I just don't know what, right? And you just kind of wind up in analysis paralysis. There's so many options. You don't know what to choose. And so it can be a challenge to get that going. I hear some noise going on as people are coming in. I don't know if one of you guys on the team could find the mute everybody option. If there's a setting to make sure everybody's muted as they come in, and then we can unmute people as we go. So either you can wind up with analysis paralysis, where it's like, I know I should choose a niche, but I just can't figure out which one. Or maybe sometimes you choose a niche, but you don't really fully commit to it. And you're always in the back of your mind like, I don't know, is that really the right niche? Am I going the right direction? Let me know in the comments here where you're at in your agency. Like, are you niche focused right now? Type niche in all caps. And type not in all caps if you haven't chosen it yet. I would imagine since you're on today's niche selection workshop, you haven't chosen the niche yet and you've got some work to do on this front, and that's why you're here, right? If you got the niche, this probably isn't going to be the best use of your time. Okay, Alexandria is here. She's got her niche. The rest of you guys not. It's okay to hang out, right? And maybe you'll get some new distinctions and some new thought process around this, but really this is going to be almost exclusively about helping you choose that right niche, giving you confidence. My goal would be by the end of today's session, you've got your niche picked, right? And you're no longer thinking about it. You're no longer analyzing it. And you can go to the next level, right? Level one is let's choose the niche. Level two is let's put together our marketing strategy and our program packaging to go land clients and to go grow our agencies. So that's what we're doing today. Not a lot of talk, but a lot of action, a lot of work. Type workshop, if you're okay, if we make this workshop mode, you guys have some time to think, you have some time to process, you have some time to decide. Just type workshop in the comments for me. All right, I've seen workshop come in. Fantastic. Matt says workshop, let's go. Very, very good. Okay, Esteban said, I'd love to have you guys rename yourself. So your first name, your last name, and your company name, you can toggle, like put your mouse over your name as it's listed in the participants box, and you can rename it there. So I'd love to get to know you guys just a little bit. Again, the more I understand about you and where you're at, the better the brainstorm process can be. And so I'm going to pull up a panel here real quick. And this panel will help us get some feedback from you. So I asked you guys, niche focused or generalist? So generalist means right now you're working with anybody. Could be the roofer, could be the chiropractor, could be e-commerce, could be whatever, right? Either you're generalist or you're niche focused. And I'll give you just a couple seconds because I know most of you guys in here are generalists, but you're thinking of going niche, right? You've heard the advice, I should go niche. You just haven't picked it yet. Okay. Excellent. I'll give you guys a couple more seconds. It looks like 65% generalist, about 34% of you are niche focused. Fantastic. Good to know. So I'm going to end that poll. I'll share the results. That way you guys can have some idea kind of what the lay of the land is. The next question I'd like to ask, just to kind of get to know you guys a little bit better, is what stage are you in your agency's growth? I'm gonna launch this real quick. Stage are you? And so there's really a couple of stages. You're just getting started. You don't have any clients today. You're in the struggle phase, which means you're less than 10K, but you've got some revenue. Scaling your 10K plus, kind of 10K to 83,000. And then significance, 83,000 plus. Titan status, you're already running multiple seven-figure agency, $166,000 in monthly recurring revenue. So just pick that real quick. Again, this helps us get a sense of who we've got on the line and helps me better craft today's session to match where you're at and kind of how I can help move you through these stages as quickly as possible. So looks like some of us just get started. Some of us in the struggle phase, about 20% in the scaling phase, and handful of you guys already at significance. Super cool. Fantastic. Amazing. All right. I'm going to end this poll in just one more second. If you haven't answered yet, let us know. And you know, this session I've found could be applicable even if you're at multiple six figures, seven figures, because sometimes we build a niche, a generalist agency. We've got a bunch of clients, we've got a bunch of recurring revenue, but we're trying to reinvent the wheel from one client to the next. And there's no scalability to our client attraction process or our delivery process. And so we don't wind up with the freedom that we're after. So we have maybe some revenue coming in, but the ability to scale is limited. And so this process of choosing a niche and doubling down all our effort on one particular vertical can be a game changer, regardless of what stage you're at in your agency's growth. So I'll share that result with you guys so you guys can take a look. Now, I feel like I've got to know you guys a little bit. The last question I want is just let me know in the comments, what type of services do you provide? Are you like SEO agency? Are you a Facebook ads agency? Are you a Google ads agency? Are you full service? How would you define yourself? It just helps me get a sense kind of what it looks like in your agency. Full service, couple full service. I'm a big fan of running full service, especially in the niche focused agency. Got some social media marketing agencies here. A lot of full service agencies, fantastic. You're definitely in the right place. Customer retention and loyalty through Gmail, email, amazing. Fantastic. Great. Really appreciate you guys engaging with me, kind of sharing with me. Again, if you can have your webcams on, if you could be on the chat, that way we can make this a two-way conversation, that would be phenomenal. I've got a great workbook that I put together. It's going to help drive today's conversation. You can access that by going to sevenfigureagency.com/niche-workbook. sevenfigureagency.com/niche-workbook. Somebody on my team, if you could grab that link and put it into the comments, that opens up to a Google Doc that we're going to use to drive today's session. Justin or Esteban or Henry, one of you guys, if you could put this link into the chat, that would be super helpful for everybody. All right. Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate it. Okay. So when I think about what we're looking to accomplish, right? All of us here, we run agencies. Some of us are niche. Some of us are generalist. Some of us are full service. Some of us are very specific. I think at the end of the day, we're all after the same objective, right? The same objective, which is we want to build an agency that provides three things. It provides the money we need to pay the bills, to live a great lifestyle, to have the luxuries that we want. We also want freedom, right? Which is the ability to do what we want to do when we want to do it, to work on our own terms, to be able to not just have money, but the ability to spend the time with the family, with our friends, taking the travels, enjoying the experiences. And we also want to have an impact, right? We want to know that what we're doing, you know, is not a cash grab, but we're really after impacting our clients, impacting the team that we hire, and knowing that we're making a difference in the community and in the client base that we serve. If you had to think about you specifically, what's the main thing for you in your agency right now? Is it the money? Like sometimes if we're in a startup and struggle, it's just the money, right? I need the money to pay the bills. For others, it's more about the freedom, right? So I've got the money coming in, but I really want to make sure I balance that with freedom. Others, it's impact. Let me know in the comments, what's one for you? Or would you say all of it, right? So let's just type all of it if you're after all of it. All right, Melody's all, Kara's all. All right, you got some of the early ones were like, I didn't know all was an option. So that's the only reason I put one or the other, right? We all want more money, more freedom, and a bigger impact. And so in order to bring that into reality, Mario, I love what you wrote here, freedom impacting God's kingdom and the baby. So good, love that. In order to bring that into reality, right? We have to have processes to land clients and have clients coming in month out on retainer-based services. We have to deliver world-class results in a scalable way. We have to retain our clients long-term by creating a great experience, by reporting the right things, by seeing the vision, keeping them engaged. And then we have to scale, right? We have to put the systems, the procedures, the team in place so we're not doing it all ourselves. And you know, as I've unpacked this model and worked with a lot of different agencies on how to do that, how to bring that into reality, we boiled down on this thing called the seven-figure agency model. And really that model that we found worked best for me and my agency and hundreds of agencies that we've worked with is we're going to target one specific niche. We're only going to sell a monthly recurring revenue service. So a program that they pay every single month where no project work, no one-off projects. We're going to make sure everybody's paying us monthly recurring fees, no partial payments. And the minimum needs to be at least $1,000 per month, ideally more like $2,000 to $2,500 per month. And this model started with me and my agency, Click Incorporated. And I'm not going to tell you a long story about this. I want to keep it brief so we can get right into the niche selection process. But started my first agency back in 2004. It was called Develicom. It was a website hosting company, and it was serving a general market, the local Miami-Dade market. I was going to build websites and SEO, and I was cold calling. I was sitting in B&I meetings. I was chasing my tail for about 2 years, and that business failed. Like, I was able to sell websites, but I was selling the wrong thing in the wrong way and had literally no momentum. Could have paid myself more if I worked at Starbucks or Burger King or something along those lines. So that was my first agency experience. And it was painful. It was brutal. I had to shut it down. I borrowed money from my dad that I wasn't able to return. It was super painful. Fast forward, worked at Reach Local and a couple different companies for a few years, discovered what the right model was. And back in 2011, started my new agency, Click Incorporated, which became Plumbing and HVAC SEO. We grew to seven figures in 2 years, made the Inc. 5000 list 3 years in a row. Today, the company's doing over $500,000 a month in recurring revenue, well over $5 million per year and growing. And there's a lot of things we put in place, a lot of decisions that we made. But if I had to anchor in on like one key decision that made the biggest difference, it was deciding to be in a niche, right? It was literally, rather than trying to work with everybody in Miami-Dade, I'm going to work with plumbing companies, right? And then putting the marketing in place, putting the program in place, developing the positioning, putting the team in place so that that business could continue to grow and can continue to scale. And so that was my experience. That's when I launched Seven Figure Agency. Hey, like, let's show other agencies how to do this, how to choose the niche, how to position themselves, how to accelerate the growth of their agencies. And today we've got over 128 agencies that have gone to seven figures following this model. Just a couple of the names you might recognize or might know. Jim Aleen from Roofer Marketers works with roofing companies. Chose the niche, positioned himself, bam. Now he's doing over $250,000. Actually, last I checked, it was $500,000 a month recurring revenue. They sold that agency to JobNimbus. And it was, not only did he build the agency, he built the massive asset that they were able to sell and exit from. Austin Hauser has grown from startup to over $92,000 per month, serving painting contractors, base coat marketing. Chris Rodriguez works with dojos and the martial arts studios. She's grown to over $250,000 a month for recurring revenue. Jen and Kelsey Outrun, they work with auto repair shops. Now they're doing multiple seven figures. Tony Ricketts works with landscape companies and has grown to over $250,000 a month for recurring revenue. And I could go on and on and on, but I just want, before we get into this, I want you to feel confident that this model that I'm talking about here works, right? It's just five bullets, but if you'll commit to that and you'll really like go down that track, you'll simplify your business. You'll take all of the complexity out of it so that you can focus on the things that are going to move you forward in your agency. So just give me a yes in the comments if that makes sense. This is the model that we're thinking about. This is the model that we're focused on. And if all you did from today's session was say, okay, I'm going to make some adjustments to the way I run this business, you can absolutely accelerate the growth of your agency. All right, I've seen lots of yeses. Fantastic. Cool. So let's talk about niche, like why niche? And I'm not going to go super long on this because I want to start to get into the research and decision process with you. But a couple of reasons why niching is so powerful. Number one is everybody wants to deal with the expert in their type of business, right? The roofer wants to deal with an agency that has experience in roofing, that understands the niche, that understands the keywords, that understands the directories, that understands how things work, right? And so in my first agency, when I was selling general services, I would sit in B&I and I would get referred to a dentist, right? And I would get referred to a roofer. I would get referred to a plumber. And I would do my meeting with the dentist. I'd, hey, look, I do internet marketing. I can build you a great website. I can do all this stuff for you. Inevitably, what question would that dentist ask 10, 15 minutes into the meeting, assuming they were kind enough to even give me the meeting? Let me know in the comments. Always a delay. What do you think the dentist would ask in that meeting? What other dentists? That's right, Devin. Who else do you work with that's a dentist, right? And I'd have to be like, I don't have any other dentist clients, but I got some other clients that really love me and think that I'm great, because everybody wants to deal with an expert in their type of business. number two, it becomes so much easier to sell, right? Because let's just say in that example, I'd already decided I was going to focus on dentistry, and I've already got 3, 4, 5, 10 clients in dental. When I go into that dental meeting, I'm not just hypothetically talking about what we could do and how we can generate results for them. I could say, well, hey, I work with this dentist in this market, and this is what we did with their website, and this is where they're ranking today, and this is how many leads they get per month. And if you'd like, I can put you in touch with the dentist or the dental office manager, and you guys can have a chat to validate that we know what we're doing. When you've got the social proof, when you've got the case studies and examples, when you've got the expertise in the industry, your sales ratios are so much higher because you've got proof, like you validated what you're doing. Give me one of the comments if that makes sense, right? This is going to make closing clients easier. Number three, and probably even more important as you scale, the reason niching is so important is because you can systematize your fulfillment, right? What I found, even in my generalist agency, I had some dentists, I had some roofers, I had some chiropractors, right? I kind of landed clients in these various verticals. But because I was moving from one niche to the next, I had to reinvent the wheel. Okay, like what are the keywords? How do I structure the website? What are the relevant directories? And I couldn't have ever systematized that in advance. Like I have to think about it and manually figure it out and manually do the research. And so there was no way I could have a scalable operation jumping from one niche to the next. When we decided to focus on plumbing and we got one plumbing client, we know, okay, like here's how we do this. And we could take what we learned from that first client and apply it to the next and apply it to the next. And ultimately, we were able to map the entire program in advance. Like here's what we're going to do with the website. Here's the pages we're going to create. Here's the titles and the H1s and the meta descriptions based on their city. Here's the tools we're going to implement. Here's what we're going to do with the paid search campaign. Here's what we're going to do with the retargeting. Here's the directories we're going to add them to move them up in the search results. Because you're in a niche, you're able to systematize that stuff in advance. Just type systematize in the comments here if that makes sense. Right? The only way you're going to scale is if you can develop proven systems in advance. You can systematize them. You can remove yourself. If we all said one of the key goals that we're after in our agencies is more money and more freedom, well, if you want more money and more freedom, you can't be the one doing all of the work, right? And so you have to build a system. You have to build a team that can execute. You'll only do that, I think, if you've got proven experience and you can actually map things out in advance. Number four is that you can become unreasonably good at delivering results in that particular industry. Like I said, because we can map it in advance and because we can take our experience from one client and apply it to the next and apply it to the next, over time, you've got more experience, you've got more data, you've got more split test information. Inevitably, you're going to get better at delivering the results for the client. Right? At the end of the day, if we want to have an impact, if we want to know that we're not just taking money from people and like kind of churning through the cash, if we want to have an impact, we have to be extremely good, right? And you become extremely good by being in a niche and developing that expertise and having your whole team focused on that one industry. You can become so good, which gives you more confidence, which helps you land more clients, which helps you feel more confident as you charge more down the track. And what I found is truly is the fastest way to accelerate the growth of your agency, right? Just being in the niche, putting the marketing system in place, becoming hyper-relevant to that industry, having the case studies and examples, and then combining that with a proven system, a proven service offering that you can deliver and confidently knock it out of the park for your clients gives you an accelerated growth path within your agency. So any questions on this, on why niche, why being in one particular vertical is helpful, why it's going to accelerate your growth. Like I said, my goal is to answer all your questions and to give you the strategy to go select that one niche so that you can stop thinking about it and just say, all right, bam, this is the one I'm going to focus on. I'm going to go after it. I'll give you like 2 seconds here. If you've got any questions, you want to post them in the chat. Otherwise, I'll keep moving forward. Is your offer very narrow? So Laura, no. What we found is being in a niche, you want to have a more comprehensive service offering. So our program is, we call it a growth program, website, built to convert, doing SEO and Google Maps optimization, running paid ads, doing database reactivation, putting marketing automation in place. We charge between $3,000 and $5,000 per month to go implement that for plumbing and HVAC companies, right? And we started at 1,000 and then we went to 2,000. Now we're between $3,000 and $5,000 per month plus ad spend. So could you have a narrow offering potentially? Yes, I think you could. I think though that it's better to have a more comprehensive solution, because then you can really make sure you're moving the needle for your client, generating leads, generating sales, generating revenue growth, and you're going to be stickier, right? We found our retention is much better when we do a comprehensive service than just doing SEO or just doing Facebook ads, for instance. Esteban, I see your hand is raised, so happy to answer. Yes.
Thank you, Josh. We have a question from Dan. Some of these questions pop up and they get lost, but Dan Wildebor, I believe is how we pronounce your name. Do you now turn away the dentists because they're not your niche, even if they really want to work with you?
Yeah. So like, as you grow and scale, you have to get good at being able to say yes to the right fit and no to the wrong fit. Right. And so we were a generalist agency for a period, which meant we work with everybody. Once we started getting momentum within plumbing, you know, we already had the program defined. We already had the launch package, you know, that went out. We already had all of our marketing assets. And so when we did get the random, hey, I'm a roofer, hey, I'm a, you know, dentist, hey, we're not a good fit, happy to refer you to somebody else. Early in the business, that's a little bit hard to do. I think you need to have at least 5 clients within your niche to say, okay, I've got some momentum here. The growth system is purring and I can start to say no. But until you get at least 5 in the niche, I would say keep yourself open, because you never know. Like, you might pick a niche on today's session. Let's just say it was like restaurants, and then find out you're struggling with restaurants for whatever reason, but you're starting to get referred to some other vertical you weren't even considering. Dental offices, for instance. And, you know, if you get more momentum, I always say follow the path of least resistance. So yes, ideally when you're at 5+ clients and you've got the momentum, you can confidently start turning away other clients. The other question I think often comes up on that same question or that same line of thinking is, well, I've got this generalist agency. I've got 17 clients. It's $30,000 a month recurring. Are you telling me to shut that down and just do the niche thing? And I'm saying no, right? We want to keep our recurring revenue from the general agency, but we want to focus going forward and say, hey, look, you know, I'm going to focus on damage restoration companies, for instance. And you know, you're putting out marketing, you're putting out positioning, you're joining an association, and now you're all in on damage restoration. That doesn't mean you don't continue to serve those clients, right? That doesn't mean you like turn off your revenue stream while building a new line of business. Hopefully that makes sense. Esteban, were there any other questions here that you wanted to make sure I didn't miss?
One last question that just came in is more like a comment, but there is a question. Now, it says here, not everyone can afford our services in a niche, but want the results we deliver, which leads to frustration and have an impact on our sales. This is from Lou. Since 2024, having different niches improve consistent revenue for our business and give flexibility. What are your thoughts on that, Josh?
Yeah. Can you repeat the question one more time?
Yeah, the question is it useful to have or target multiple niches?
No, I was kind of trying to make sure I understood the question. I think initially the question was,
I'll read it again. Not everyone can afford our services in a niche.
They can't afford it, right? So we work with plumbing and HVAC companies, right? And if you look at the entire sphere of plumbing and HVAC companies, there's like 150,000 plumbing and HVAC companies. If I was dealing with the one man plumbing company, which is the lion's share of plumbing companies that exist, I would think they can't afford $3,000 per month, right? There's just not enough of them that can afford to spend that. And so, you know, like, I need to make my program cheaper. The reality is, in any niche, right? Plumbing, roofing, dentists, chiropractors, there's the bottom end of the market and there's the top end of the market. And you want to focus your attention on the higher end of the market, like the top 20% of companies. In plumbing, for instance, our target does at least $1 million per year, which takes it from, you know, 125,000 plumbing companies down to like 25,000. They're doing over $1 million per year, but that's more than enough plumbing companies that we focus on that, you know, built us a $5 million and growing digital marketing agency. So you do want to make sure they can afford to spend, right? We're going to talk about that in a minute, but in almost all verticals, there's a low end and a high end. Like, if you're focused on the high end, they can afford these types of services. Let me know if that answered the question. Okay, I see two other questions I'm going to answer, and then we'll make sure we come back to answer any questions you guys have. How can you get five clients in one niche without having issues giving them all service equally? The way we built Plumbing and HVAC SEO out of the gates was we were only going to work with one company in each market, right? So we're national, right? We got plumbing and HVAC companies all over the country, but we initially was like, we're going to work with one in Miami, one in Tampa, one in West Palm Beach, and that's kind of how we grew. And that addresses the issue of conflict of interest. How can I work with multiple companies in one market? If your goal is to build to like $1 to $5 million, that's absolutely a good way to run the business. It makes you more compelling. It's like it might feel more congruent with you from an integrity perspective. If your goal is to go to like 8 figures, you might not want to put that restriction on yourself, right? And so there's been a lot of companies in this program, like Jim Aline, who I mentioned in roofing, Tony Ricketts in landscaping. They just strategically decided we're not going to lock ourselves into exclusivity, right? And so they do work with multiple clients in each market. They've got a great answer to that question around, hey, listen, if I'm working with your competitor right in this area, and I understand what the keywords are, I understand what the demographics are, that gives us a competitive advantage where the two of you can dominate this local market, or the three of you can dominate this local market. And it actually turned into an accelerant for them. So we can go either way, but don't let that be a reason like, oh no, I can't grow this thing because there's only 175 distinct markets, let's just say, that I could potentially work with. Could you comment on factoring an ad spend and the management fee? Zach, I don't recommend including management fee into your program. So if you're charging $3,000 per month plus ad spend, that ad spend would be charged directly to Facebook, or it would be charged directly to Google. That way you're not commingling funds. You eliminate a lot of the risk. And it's also just a lot cleaner for you to know how much revenue you've actually got coming in for management fees versus what's coming in for other things. How do you find the list of plumbing companies grossing over a million? Great question, Derek. There's a great tool called Data Axle, which we'll pull up here in a minute. I'll kind of show you how to access it. But you can type in any industry and you can run a quick search. How many damage restoration companies are there total? How many of them do over $500,000 per year? How many of them are in the Southeast portion of the country, right? And that helps you kind of do this analysis to find that type of information. These are great questions. I wish I could answer all of them. We'll definitely leave some space at the end to answer additional questions. But I appreciate you guys engaging. Did I miss anything super urgent in the questions, Esteban? Good. Okay. So let's get into how to choose the niche. Like, what are the criteria you want to think through? That's the meat and potatoes of what we want to do here today. Number one is we want to make sure that they clump together or self-identify. So an example of this would be contractors. What's a contractor? That's a very loose term, right? Could be a roofing contractor, could be a deck contractor, could be a plumbing contractor. Nobody identifies themselves as a contractor. So saying you're contractor marketing services, very, very, loose, not an idea what we're looking for. Whereas plumbing companies, chiropractors, roofers, they self-identify as that particular thing. So make sure that you don't have a broad niche. The whole purpose of this is to be able to speak to a very specific market, to identify that market on a system like Data Axle, know how many there are, know how to get their contact details, know how to target them on social media so that you can advertise to them effectively. So question number one is, do they self-identify? Question number two is, do they have a propensity to invest in marketing, right? And so across the spectrum of companies, there's maybe a lot of them, but they don't necessarily market. So for instance, like nail salons, you think, wow, there's got to be hundreds of thousands of nail salons. There's one in every single city across the country. But do they advertise? Do they spend money on Google Ads, on websites, on SEO, or back in the day, were they investing in the yellow pages? And I would say for the most part, they don't, right? Whereas home services like plumbing and garage door repair, roofing contractors, the bigger companies grew through marketing. They have a propensity to advertise. And so you want to make sure whatever vertical you're focused on has proven that they spend. It's much harder to convince somebody, hey, you should spend $3,000 a month in marketing. And they're like, well, I've never spent any money. I refer business is how I've grown my business. If that's what your prospects are telling you, the industry may not have a propensity to advertise. Much easier to get to that plumbing company who's already spending $10,000 a month in marketing and say, hey, look, let me show you how we can get your website ranked better, how we can help it convert better, how we can leverage automation to convert more of your leads. If they're already spending the money, you can enter the stream of money that's already being spent and get them better results. Focus on that. Focus on making sure they have a propensity to advertise, a propensity to invest. You want to make sure there's enough of them. I think there was a question here. There's only 500 in my niche. I think you could probably win in that niche if you've already got a foot in the door, if you've already got the data. But I like to say we're looking for at least 10,000 companies in the industry, ideally, for it to be a large enough niche that you can join an association, that you can really get the list, that you can go deep with. There's exceptions to every rule. I've seen some companies do amazing work in very narrow niches. So, you know, don't make this the number one thing, but I would want to use what used to be called InfoUSA, well, Data Axle, and make sure there's at least 10,000 of them that are in the industry. That way you're playing in a niche that's large enough that you could get a 5, 10% market share and have a pretty significant sized business. So are there enough of them? Is there an industry association? This is really important. If they self-identify and there's an industry association that you could join that has ongoing continuing education, that has live events that you can be at, that you can participate in, that's one of the key criteria I would look for in any niche if I were restarting from the ground up. Actually, I look at all of these, but this is super important. So if you were to say whatever niche it is, plumbing companies, it's like, is there a plumbing association? Bam, you get the National Plumbing Association. You get all of these groups. You can click in and see that there's events happening in Dallas, in Atlanta, all throughout the country, all throughout the year, which means I've got an opportunity to access them. I've got an opportunity to get in front of them. I have an opportunity to not just Facebook advertise, but also be live and in person. So we want to make sure that there's an industry association. Do they have live events? This is kind of like I combine these two bullets, but are they gathering? That's really important. We want to know that there's an event I could put a booth at. There's an event that I could come speak at in that industry multiple times throughout the year. It's one of the key plays in the growth system that we'll be sharing with you guys. And then another question. So a lot of this stuff is more demographic information, like just considering. But the other one is, do you have a background or affinity for that niche? And that means, like, did you run a business in that industry? Did you work in that industry? Do you have some background or experience that can make it much easier for you to enter into that particular vertical? A great example of this, like this question of, do you have background or affinity, is Brian Stearman. He runs an agency called Landscape Marketing Mechanics. And he was focused on restaurants. Like, he was like, man, I'm gonna run an agency for restaurants. And he was struggling. He wasn't getting any momentum. And I was like kind of going through this exercise with him. And he said, you know, I hadn't considered it, but before I started this business, I ran and sold a lawnscaping company. And I was like, well, that seems like that would be the most logical place for you, right? You've got experience there. You ran the business. You'd be able to talk the talk. You probably got some relationships. You kind of probably know where they hang out. Why don't you do that? And he's like, okay, cool. And he went down the landscaping niche, grew to 7 figures, and he's running a great business to this day. And that's a great example of, like, let's not make this harder for ourselves than it needs to be, right? If we've got a background that we can plug into, if our mom was a dentist, if our dad, you know, ran this type of business, if we worked in that type of industry, is there a background or affinity? Like, do you really enjoy it? Are you passionate about it? This is another one of those bullet points, but it doesn't have to be, right? So as an example, we run a $5 million plus plumbing and HVAC marketing agency. And you say, like, Josh, what's your affinity? What's your background? Did you run a plumbing company? Did your dad run a plumbing company? No, I literally had no experience. I worked at Reach Local. I sold a couple of plumbing companies while I was there. I got to talk the talk and kind of meet some of the guys. And we just started getting success. And so for me, it was more the background piece, where it's like I already had a couple plumbing companies that I was starting to get results for, and it became easier because my track record was there and I didn't have to invent it from the ground up. So hopefully That's helpful. Any questions on this thought process around choosing your niche? And we're going to get into some exercises here in just a sec. Getting a list. How do you find the plumbing company? Yeah, Data Axle. Could somebody drop the link for Data Axle into the chat? Okay. So some of the top niches, this is a question I get all the time. It's like, well, what are the best niches? You work with hundreds of companies. What are the niches that you found work well or that you would recommend? So some of the top niches, and this is going to be hard. I probably should have shared my screen. It is in your workbook, so you can see it in the workbook here. But home services has been great. Historically, when I worked at Reach Local, that was one of the top performing verticals. Now working with 128 of the top fastest growing agencies in the country, I would probably say it's probably 50 or 60% of them are in home services. And so what I would caution you though is don't be like, I'm going to be the home services expert, right? I'm going to go after home services. That's my niche. Home services isn't a niche. Way too broad. You cannot self-identify. You wouldn't look relevant or interesting to anybody. Now within home services, you've got kitchen remodeling, AC repair, plumbing, landscaping, roofing, electricians, pest control, locksmiths, painting contractors, flooring installation, decorative concrete, damage restoration, garage door installation repair. And I can tell you, I think in just about every one of those, we've got at least one or two agencies that are doing seven figures in those particular home services. So that's a great opportunity, especially if you have some background, especially if you have some affinity. Then you've got all of the healthcare. And so when I say healthcare, please, like, don't think you're going to go into the general doctor's office and do marketing, right? Because there, if you've got a track to that, fantastic. But direct marketing to that industry, they don't have a propensity to advertise, right? Doctor's offices are through insurance. They're through referrals. Very few of them are like, hey, I can't wait to get my SEO and my paid search and drive new patient flow. So within homes, within healthcare, you've got dentists. They have a propensity to advertise. Dentists, orthodontists, dental implants, cosmetic surgery, chiropractors, cosmetic surgeons, weight loss centers, eye doctors. That a little bit tough, the eye doctor niche, I'll just say, med spas, veterinarians, and fitness centers, personal trainers, all these kind of fall into the health and fitness subcategory. And I would encourage you, think more micro than trying to think of a full industry. So healthcare marketing experts, that's going to struggle. It's not really going to land with anybody, but being the weight loss center marketing experts, that's relevant, right? And even within dentistry, rather than trying to go after all dentists, go after cosmetic dentistry or like orthodontics. Like if you can get very, very specific with the industry within the industry, you can really go deep. And again, this list is on your workbook. So I apologize if this is hard for you to see. Again, it's in the digital workbook. We just dropped the link. Automotive. So within automotive, I found success in auto repair and auto body. A couple of agencies doing really well within that space. And then you've got auto dealers. New and used car sales, a little bit harder. Like I found, you can do pretty well within used cars. Within the new dealer market, there's just some systems in play and the way that the dealer market works. Unless you've already got a track in auto sales, That's actually a really tough niche. So if you're going to go automotive, I would go more on the auto body and auto repair shops than trying to go specific after dealers. Legal, right? Law firms, bankruptcy, personal injury, divorce, criminal, traffic cases, traffic tickets, all very good. Again, if you're going to go legal, try and pick a sub vertical within that. And then business to business, right? And like your traditional business to business companies, like printing companies, document imaging, sign companies, document management. You could probably go much deeper in terms of B2B. I would, however, say probably 90% of our member base kind of falls within home services, healthcare, automotive, and legal. Justin Simmons is on with us. Justin's our director of member success. Justin, any insights you want to share here on like the top niches that you're seeing from our member base and what's working best and where people are having the most success? Justin, can you hear me? Maybe Justin walked away from the... Here you go. There you go. I unmuted you.
All right, cool. Sorry, I'm not a co-host yet, so that's why. The question was kind of some of the top sites or top niches you said. It's really I've seen a lot of questions in there. So that it's really anything for everybody's questions, but home services is really big. Med spas, I know somebody mentioned that. Legal is really big. The big thing to keep in mind, everyone, is you don't want to go so broad that you're splitting your focus and your time. And I'm seeing those kind of questions come in. You want to make sure that, hey, I'm really good at plumbing and getting those results. And you're going to really find that there's more than enough in that niche before you have to go add sub niches and things like that in terms of like landing more clients. And you want to get really good at delivering results for a med spa, for an AC company before you add in the other things. You want to make this for your team and for yourself, all repeatable, scalable processes. So those are the things to keep in mind. Kara just dropped one, home inspections. Yeah, we had a couple members who were in that kind of space. So anything can be a niche. I would go back to those questions Josh mentioned. Look at the numbers, how many people are in them. Josh, I don't want to jump ahead. You might get into the math of it, but you don't need a ton of clients to be a seven-figure agency.
Yeah, good questions. I'll kind of jump in. Justin, thanks for answering that. Can somebody mute? There's somebody's audio coming in really loud. Bang. All right, we got her. Home inspection. Yes, well, I think within the real estate market, you've got realtors, loan officers, home inspection companies. Those are the main three. They tend to be referral-based. I mean, for the most part, they refer business back and forth. They don't want to spend on marketing. So I would probably shy away from that unless you've got a really strong affinity. Like you've got a network that you're tapped into, you've got some great experience, and you're willing to like kind of think outside the box. So, you know, just doing website SEO pay-per-click for the typical home inspection company may not win the day. But if you can get creative and help connect them with realtors and loan officers and help them build referral networks, you can create a niche and a strategy that's completely unique. Home staging, Christine, is probably really good. I would think if you've got a background there and like you can help them come up in search, you can help connect them with realtors that like, hire these types of home staging companies, that could be a really solid niche. Financial advisors, same thing. You know, what I found with, I do know a couple that have gone to multiple seven figures in home with financial advisors. You can't just do SEO and pay-per-click for that industry. You've got to be able to show them how to set up like what they used to do, plate-licking seminars, where it'd be like, bam, we're going to drive 25 people in your local market to the local steakhouse. You're going to pay for the steak dinner, and he's going to do a presentation, right? If you can show them how to fill the room, make those offers, that can work, right? But you have to, you know, kind of bring that strategy and show them how to implement it. So in certain verticals, it can work, but you have to really come up with some creative approaches to the way you deliver results. Okay. So in your workbook, I've got this niche selection worksheet, which this is like a bonus step, but I'd love for you just to kind of pick, just put in the comments here, out of those industries I just mentioned, home services, legal, automotive, what's the area that you're considering right now? Devin wrote med spas. This is where I want you to do some creative thought here. Painting companies, garage door repair, fantastic. Financial advisor that came up again, home remodelers. Cool. You guys are thinking on the right track here. I'm going to pull up a couple of things on a browser while you guys are typing. Insurance, you know, depending upon what type of insurance, home insurance is tough, right? I do know one seven-figure agency that works in home insurance, and they're very big within one of the big brands. But it's very competitive. They don't have a lot of money to spend. Unless you're really well entrenched, I wouldn't recommend it. Okay, so I'm just going to show you guys this resource right here, which is Data Axle. So if you come into Data Axle and you type on lists, and then you go to business lists, and you go, let's get started, it'll ask you to set up an account. But once you set up an account, you can literally type in just about any industry you want, and it will give you counts. And you could say, what about insurance companies, right? Bam. And it'll list out, there's 10,000 or 100,000 or a million insurance companies. And you could say, what about the ones doing over $1 million per year? And it'll show you the numbers for that. That is dataaxleusa.com, which is the platform I would suggest you use to do some of this initial research outside of the, you know, the gut check. in terms of like, this is what I'm thinking, this is where I want to go within my niche selection process. So here's what I want you guys to do. Hopefully I'm sharing the right screen. You guys should be seeing the workbook now. Yes. Okay, cool. So we kind of talked through some of this key stuff. I kind of listed out the top niches that we're seeing success within. I've got this worksheet, which if you want to really feel thorough, feel free to pop this open. I'll open it up and just kind of show you how it works. This is for you if you're like a super, you know, high research, you want to feel like you did some due diligence. You can pick any number of niches. Don't spend time on more than probably like five or six, but you can go in here and say, okay, I'm thinking about chiropractic. I'm thinking about plastic surgeons. I'm thinking about med spots, whatever your niches are. And then you can use Data Axel to put in how many companies there are in those industries, how many are doing over a million. In my mind, you know, probably you can sell to anybody, but your growth is going to come from the larger companies doing over half a million or $1 million plus. And so this gives you a good count, like how many chiropractors are there doing over a million in this particular instance. And then you can use the Google search tool to figure out, is that industry proactively looking for my services, right? Are they typing in chiropractic marketing and chiropractic SEO and chiropractic advertising and put those search volume numbers next to it? This just helps you feel like, okay, there's enough of them. And some of the demographic research here, and then some of the tools you can use for this, keyword ideas, the keyword tool, SEM Rush, the Google keyword planner, it gives you great data. So there's some of the tools you can use in order to help refine this process. I don't want to use a bunch of our time right now going through this, but I did want to provide that as a resource to you guys that want to like really feel like you've done a thorough review of this process. I'm trying to get back to my workbook. Hold on, let me stop sharing my screen. And then, where did it go? I have another tab. Okay, I found it. Okay, so that's that. Here's what I want you guys to do now. You have enough thought in this, right? You've heard about the key criteria. You've heard about the things that you're thinking about. You've heard about the top niches. You've probably been thinking about this for quite some time. Otherwise, you wouldn't have come to today's session even thinking about your niche. What I want you to do next is, in this spot right here, pick your top three niches. I want you to put down three niches, not a dozen, not 12, just three niches that you're heavily considering. And I'm going to put a timer up and I'm going to give you guys, let's say 1 minute to put in your top three. And I want you to copy and paste that into the comments once you've got it done. Is the clock enabled on this? Maybe it's not. I don't see the clock as an option right now. That's fine. This is where we're getting to workshop mode. All right. Garage door, kitchen remodeling, window treatment, traffic tickets, home inspection, endodontists, says Kara. Let's see. Talon, AI systems, healthcare, multiple vitamins, outdoor survival gear. Okay. Devin, med spas, cosmetic doctor, dermatology. Okay. Zach, HVAC, roofing, day spas, cosmetic surgeons, life coaches, cleaning services. I would say life coaches is a little tough. It's a little bit tough, but they just in terms of them having the money that they need to advertise their services and really getting a list of them, unless you're like in a network already, that's a little bit tough. So I would just caution against that. Home remodelers, roofers, home design contractors. Excellent. You guys are doing the work here, which is great. I'm not going to read everybody's, but I like the fact you guys are dropping these into the chat. You're doing the work, right? Our goal here is to shortlist and then decide. Right? We're going to decide on a niche and we're going to focus on that going forward. Okay. So if you've picked your three, I want you guys to spend a couple of minutes now in the niche selection workbook, which is right below there. And I want you to describe the niche. And then I want you to think a little bit about the affinity side of the equation, which is, if you had to talk with that industry all day, every day, if you had to create webinar content, if you had to go to their events and hang out, could you get up for that? Or do you feel like after a couple of weeks, after a couple of months, you'd be like, oh, I don't like these people, right? And unfortunately, like for me, if I had to work with attorneys all day, I don't know that my affinity would match up with that industry, right? And so for all of us, a little bit different. And when we think about the affinity side of the equation, do you like the industry? Do you have a background in the industry? Like, do you have a story that like resonates with why you're selling, why you're working in this particular niche? A good example of this is Billy Sticker from Cairo Candy, runs one of the top agencies serving the chiropractic space. And he's passionate about chiropractic. He actually had created a podcast around, you know, before running an agency around chiropractic and how it helped to improve his life and it aligned his spine. And he's passionate about that topic. So he built his agency around chiropractic. If you can have that affinity and have that background story, it helps with the growth within the space. So let's do this, everybody. I'm going to give you 2 minutes now. Everybody, just those top three, do you like them? Do you have a background in that particular space? And let's do the work here. This is going to help you come to decision. I'm not going to let you get off today's call without picking one. I want to spend 5 minutes. Let's do 1 minute. 1 minute, guys. Not exactly related, but a little bit. Okay, Marcus, good. Seems like you're on the right track there. Justin Little's on my team. If you could research how to get the timer to be accessible for the next session, that'd be great. Okay. Keisha says, drawing in blanks, perhaps I realize there's a lot of things I like versus dislike. Okay, cool. Good awareness. That's good. Okay. Next thing I want you to consider on all three of these is two things. Can you get them results? So ideally, like, do you know what you would do? Like, well, ideally going into this niche, you should be like, okay, if you're going to work with financial institutions or if you're going to work with financial advisors, can you get them results? Do you know how to get them, you know, people that are looking to invest their dollars? Do you have a strategy around how to fill the room at the local office or using webinars? Like, do you have a strategy that you can roll out? Do you have a client or two already in the industry that you've knocked it out of the park for? Ideally, a lot of you guys are already kind of running successful agencies. You're looking to pivot to the niche market. So looking at that client list and seeing like, where do I have the biggest wins? Where do I have clients that I've crushed it for that I really enjoy working with? You know, that's where this, can I get the results, comes into play. And will they pay, right? And that's the question of propensity to advertise. Do they have $2,500, $5,000 plus ad spend that they can invest? Is this industry going to be able to invest in that level? Kara says, home inspections is my background. It also includes structural engineering inspections. It's a little more solid than home inspection. You know, if you've got a background in home inspections and you can say, look, I run a home inspection company. I figured out how to use social media, how to make the connections with realtors. And that's what I'm bringing to the table for the home inspection market. I think that would be super interesting and relevant. What if we don't have any experience within our niche? Victor, if you don't have any experience, you know, you can still like have a hypothetical niche. I would think you can keep yourself a little bit more open at that phase in the business, right? If you don't have any experience with any clients to this point, you need to do some of the sitting in B&I meetings, making connections, creating some opportunities, and then figuring out, okay, plumbing seems to work well for me. Roofing seems to work well for me. Go in with the hypothetical based on what I showed you, like all the verticals that work well, but kind of leave yourself a little bit more open early in the process. How do you figure out if the niche has enough money to repay you in terms of your services? You know, that's you know, just trying to look historically within the industry. I can't point to a specific resource, but if you think about, type in what niche you're considering, I might be able to tell you. But if you think about garage door companies, attorneys, roofing contractors, historically, even back before internet was a thing, they all advertised heavily in yellow page ads, right? So if you think about like, would they have had a big section within the yellow pages? That's probably a pretty good niche in terms of their propensity to spend. Chiropractors, yes, they have the money to spend and they will spend. Very competitive. Obviously, lots of people that sell out of that space. Individual doctors, not so much. Like a regular general doctor, general practitioner, typically they are all insurance-based, referral-based, and location-based, and they don't want to spend the money on that stuff. What are the niches too competitive, still worth going after? Almost every niche is going to be competitive at this point, right? Within plumbing, there's dozens and dozens of companies going after that particular industry. I think the fact that it is competitive tells you that it's a good niche, they have money to spend, and there's people making money in that particular space. You'll have to be more innovative with your offering and your marketing than if you enter a blue ocean niche where there's nobody already kind of positioned as the go-to expert. But I wouldn't shy away from a niche just because of that. Okay, yeah, Richard said if they have billboards and wrapped vehicles, that's probably a pretty good indication that they have money to invest. Okay, so what I want you guys to do, and now that we've picked three, out of all of those, kind of thinking through, do they have the money? Do they have the results? What's my background? I want you all to pick two, right? So just narrow down two, like kind of highlight it within your workbook here. Let's just say it was this one, and I'm going to highlight it in red, and this one, I'm going to highlight it in red. And like these are my two niches. Type two in the comments if you can narrow this down to two, right? Let's get down to our two. Like these are the two that I'm really, really leaning towards right now. All right, we got our twos. Dos, says Mario. Oh, fantastic. Okay, we've got our twos. Here's what I want you guys to do next. And I want you to bear with me because you came on today's session and you're here and you've plugged in and you've kind of gone through the process and you've kind of thought this stuff through. I want you guys all to find a coin. I want you to find a coin somewhere in the office. Find a coin. Ideally, you've got something you can flip. If you don't have a coin, you could take like an old credit card and just get clear on what's up and what's down. Everybody, get a coin, hold it up for me. We're gonna make a decision right now out of those two. Type coin in the comment if you've got your coin or you've got the thing that you're gonna flip. I want everybody to do this. Nobody gets off the hook. All right, coin, LOL. Yes, coin. Okay, we've got a coin. Here's what I want you to do next. And I want you to do this with me because I don't want you to jump ahead. I want you to decide which niche is heads and which niche is tails, right? So if I was thinking about plumbing or auto repair shops, upside would be plumbers, downside would be auto repair shops, right? Just get clear in your mind which one is which. Don't use the flip a coin app, guys, because there's a process here that I'm trying to bring into light here. We're going to try and do something. All right. We've all got something we're going to flip. We've all decided which one is niche one and which one is niche two, right? what I want you to do, hold it up for me. Matt, I see you there. John. Okay, cool. Carlos, okay. What I want you to do is we're going to flip it, but I don't want you to look. I want you to flip it up, catch it like this, and put it on your hand, but don't look, right? So at the count of five, we're all going to flip it. We know which one is niche one, which one is niche two. We're going to put it down, and we're not going to look, right? All right, on the count of five. One, two, three, four, five. Flip it. Don't look. Don't look. Everybody's got it? They're not looking at it though? All right, here's what I want you to do. As the coin or the credit card went up, there was one that in the back of your mind, you're like, man, I hope it's that one. I hope it's auto repair. I hope it's plumbing. We're not going to leave this to chance. Whichever one it was in the back of your head, you're like, you know what? I hope it's that one. That's the one I want you to focus on. That's your niche. Hopefully that worked for everybody. Dr. CK says, I love it. Okay, put in your workbook here and then in the comments as well, what niche you're going to focus on. Let's get that decided, right? There's no perfect niche, but ideally if we can pick one, now we can get off the blocks and we can go make decisions. All right, I see some coming in. Fantastics. Devin's Med Spas, Richard's HVAC, Jazzy is Garage Door, Dan is Home Remodeling, Carlos is Plumbing. Love flipped my favorite side. Yes. Churches. How do we get access to the work? Hopefully someone dropped that in for him. HVAC and Roofing, Legal, Plumbing and HVAC, Independent Schools. Fantastic. Great work, guys. You made a decision. Right. And that's the first step, right? We got to decide what niche we want to focus on so that we can build our program, so that we can put our marketing in place, so that we can build that multiple seven figure agency that we're looking to build, that we're looking to develop. Any questions here, kind of like in looming, you know what? I still am unsure. I still have some question. Happy to answer those for you guys. Give me a pound sign in the comments if you feel good with the decision that you've made. You're like, all right, I've got a niche, and now I'm ready to hit the ground running. All right, I got some pounds. I got a fist bump. Fantastic. Good work, everybody. Well done. So that was it. Like, that's what we wanted to do today. We wanted to make sure we kind of helped you think through the niche selection process. We helped you decide on what niche was going to be the right niche for you. This is really just like step one of our process for building a multiple seven-figure agency over the next 12 to 24 months, right? Whether you're starting from a zero start or whether you've got a seven-figure agency, you're looking to pivot into a niche agency, this is step one right here. We want to choose our model. Like, we got to choose the niche. We've got to decide what our program is going to look like. We've got to make some decisions so that we can go out and build our strategy to land clients on retainer month in and month out, so that we can build the team and systematize, and so that we can put systems in place to retain those clients at the highest level possible.